This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes, to industry trends and everything in between. So looking at our first news article this week, as it turns out, used aircraft prices are soaring. Sale prices of pre-owned business aircraft have increased between 20 and 30%. As the market continues to see historically low inventory, according to the International Aircraft Dealers Association's third quarter market report of the year. They've reported 182 aircraft agreements compared to 110 in the same period of last year. Only 7 transactions were made because of lowered prices versus 83 in the third quarter of 2020. Also during the quarter, 40 transactions fell apart, which was 10 fewer than the year-ago quarter. Total deals closed by the dealers were 325, which is up from 283 in last year's third quarter. So it's interesting to see used aircraft sales are going up as opposed to, you know, new or just in general, people wanting to buy aircraft, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I feel like it parallels the used car industry as well.
It absolutely does. You're right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the next headline is that an LA-based startup called Exosonic is developing a supersonic unmanned aircraft system, or UAS, under a 15-month, $750,000 U.S. Air Force contract. This UAS could serve a military role in adversary air training. Currently, the Air Force often contracts with private companies to fly training exercises against military pilots. This UAS could also help Exosonic continue the development of a low-boom supersonic transport for commercial and defense markets. Exosonic has targeted late 2023 or early 2024 for the first flight of this military UAS, and on the side, Exosonic is also designing a Mach 1.8 supersonic transport for the commercial market. So this is a company I've never heard of before, and they're doing some interesting work.
Yeah, it's nice to see some healthy competition.
I agree.
That sector of the industry as well.
Yep.
Turning to some Tampa, Florida-based news, but it sounds like this is being seen across the country. Data from the FAA is showing that there's been an increase in the number of people shining lasers at flying aircraft. Historically, Florida ranks among the worst places for laser strikes. Looking at just the Tampa Bay area alone, there have been 56 laser strikes just so far this year. That's an average of one incident every 5 days in the year 2021.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
Yeah, it really is. It's too much. Commercial planes and private aircraft, as well as even medical and law enforcement helicopters, have all been targets of blinding green lights, say authorities. One pilot said, quote, "When they strike the aircraft with the green laser, it hits the plexiglass on the windshield and it illuminates the entire cockpit. It's that glare that you just can't see where you're going." Wow. So it sounds like a very scary experience. And, you know, law enforcement tries their best to track these people down. But, you know, there's really only so much that you can do. So very scary, and hoping this stops soon.
Yeah, I didn't know laser strikes were so common. So here's to hoping, like you said, that cases of laser strikes start declining very soon.
Hopefully.
And our last headline for today is that the FAA is going to open, or has already opened, depending on when you're listening to this, an airport design challenge registration. On November 1st, 2021, FAA will officially open registration for this annual airport design challenge. This challenge allows K through 12 students to design virtual airports using Minecraft, which I thought was very cool. This challenge includes 5 weeks of organized lesson plans that cover airport layout, pavement, lighting, structures, and growth. The FAA administrator, Steve Dixon, said that the airport challenge is a perfect fit for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is so much a part of what we do at the FAA, and it is very important to pass on to the next generation. The guidance for this challenge will be provided by FAA aerospace and engineering professionals, and program facilitators will issue weekly knowledge check quizzes and collect screenshots of students' designs to assess progress and provide feedback. Approximately 800 students from around the world participated last year, so here's to hoping that they still have some great participation this year and they see some really cool designs.
Yeah, sounds like another awesome way to get some younger folks into aviation. We love to see it.
I agree. And I love that they're making it accessible by letting the kids use Minecraft.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So in the last episode, we talked about, you know, transitioning in a time of COVID and what it was like for Stefan as he was already working in the airlines and what happened when COVID came along. And as he sort of started to mention, it brought about feelings of burnout and fatigue in a lot of employees. And that's something that we're going to focus on today overall is, you know, those feelings of burnout, fatigue, anxiety, stress in, you know, as an airline captain, pilot. So Stefan, what would you say were, you know, feelings just overall at the beginning of COVID? What were people feeling? What were people talking about?
I think the biggest part was the uncertainty of it all. And if we would have jobs at the end of COVID, people didn't know how many layoffs there would be, you know, and there were even talks of like, is the airline even going to survive this? Because it was one of the biggest, you know, financial hits that the airline's like ever taken, you know, even more so than like 9/11 or like the financial crisis, because air traffic went to like almost zero. I don't know if this number is true, but I heard it was, you know, it's like losing like $30 million a day or something like that. Just like an absurd amount of money at like the height of COVID. I think that was most people's biggest fear was that, as well as another thing that was really concerning, of course, like the health aspect, because this was pre-vaccine and, you know, lots of people were getting sick. And of course, this is a customer facing position and you're in closed spaces with a lot of different people that you don't really know where they've been. And with this, a lot of people do commute, meaning they live somewhere different from where they're based. And with the schedules so in flux, this also made it difficult for people to get into work just because there's so few flights, which of course makes at home even more stressful for some. And now we're kind of having the opposite effect now that everything's picked back up, and just picked back up so quickly that we're just doing so much flying and the staffing has been pretty tight. And so people, you know, have been asked to, you know, do like more flying on your days off, pick up overtime, which has its own stresses as well, just because you're gone so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, I can definitely relate to that as someone who works currently in the aerospace industry. So what you were saying about all the uncertainty about people getting restless about whether they, cause they didn't know whether they're going to have jobs at the end of all this. My company had similar sentiments, honestly, because, you know, I work on commercial engines, so we weren't sure if there was even going to be a need for us. And there was so much stress, you know, like, because people tried, the company tried, and all those companies in the industry, they don't want to lay off people, right? But you hear in the news all the time, like, oh, X company laid off this percentage of employees, and you wonder if you're going to be next, and you're always on edge. And that's, this lack of job security was also on top of all everything that was happening in the world. You know, like you turn on the news, the first thing you hear is about the COVID cases. And then the next thing you hear is about how airline companies are laying off so many people and how the airline industry is just going down. So it was definitely a rough time for everyone, I think. I'm glad that we both made it out okay. Happy to be here. But I can definitely understand the struggles of what it felt like to be in the industry at the time. It was hard. It was definitely really hard. So I guess talking about all that COVID stuff is also a good transition, because during COVID, it was a lot of mental fatigue and anxiety and stress and things like that. But outside of COVID, there's also a lot of mental fatigue working on an airline, right? So you mentioned, Stefan, those 4-day long flight schedules. How does that play into how you feel on the job? And, you know, how does the FAA kind of step in and tell you, like, these are the guidelines and the rules to make sure that their staff aren't being overburdened?
So the FAA, after there was a crash in 2009 that prompted the FAA and Congress to change the rest rules for pilots. And there's a bunch of things that go into this. It's called the FAR 117 rest rules, referring to the regulations, part 117. One of which is you need to have 10 hours of rest after your duty day, and within those 10 hours, an 8-hour rest opportunity. Another is you have to have 30 hours of rest within a 7-day period. And then there's some other rules in terms of how many hours you can fly, you know, in a day and in a year and so on and so forth. But another thing that the FAA mandates for air carriers is that they have what's called a fatigue risk management program. So what that is you can basically just call scheduling and say, I'm fatigued if you're too tired to work. And it's almost no questions asked. The only thing you need to do is you need to file a report that basically just explains what the situation was. And the company can track these reports and see, like, oh, this is like, you know, we've been receiving a lot of fatigue calls on this, you know, the schedule that we're creating, you know, there's like a trend in it. And so, like, maybe like we need to adjust it because it's, you know, it's not safe to do a schedule like this. So it's a way that for the company to track it, the FAA monitors it also, you know, and it gives you like an opportunity as like an out if you're feeling like you're unsafe to continue performing the flight.
Yeah, I'm super glad that they have those regulations. I read a study earlier today that said 60 to 80% of airline accidents were caused by human error, which includes human fatigue and things like that. So I'm glad that they have these guidelines in place. And just out of curiosity, have you ever experienced anything close to fatigue? Like, have you ever had to call out because you felt fatigued?
I haven't called out fatigue personally. I know lots of people that have, and there's, you know, various instances of, you know, times where you could get fatigued. And of course that varies person by person. But, you know, one of the things about, you know, getting fatigued sometimes is you don't always realize how tired you are. Like, you know, your cognitive function can decline without you even realizing it. So sometimes, you know, maybe the person you're flying with is like, man, you should probably call out fatigue. Like you're not like, you know, as sharp as you need to be for this flight. You know, especially like after like a really, like a, you know, a 14-hour day, being jostled in the plane and it's very loud and, you know, having to do like really like complex tasks and like bad weather and, you know, utilizing your brain function so long can just make you like really tired, especially doing that, like, you know, for multiple days in a row. That's where a lot of people.
When I was younger, I realized that I felt really tired after long flights and I went on this deep dive. I was like 16. I don't know. I don't know why I did this. I was curious. Anyway, I went on this deep dive about why I felt so tired after these flights. And one of the reasons why is because you're so, like, you're constantly being stimulated because, like, the lights in the cabin are always on to some degree. There's always engine noise and things like that. And as a passenger, I feel tired maybe after, like, an 8 or 10 hour flight. But I can only imagine how tiring it is for the flight crew. I mean, as a passenger, I have the most interface with the flight attendants and I see them walking around all the time, like passing out, I don't know, peanuts, snacks, whatever, you know, the flight demands, and they're walking up and down the aisles and stuff like that. And they're just like they seem they're so professional, regardless of the fact that they've been there for I don't even know how long. I don't know how long they've been working or anything like that. Like, it's astounding to me how people can just, you know, react so well and still do their job so well.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things, especially about like being a passenger, I personally, when I'm a passenger, nothing is more tiring than being a passenger on the plane. is, you know, it's just not something you do every day. And so just like everything is like almost new, and all the movements and everything are new. While like, you know, when you're flying, you're kind of in control and you know what to expect and what's going on. So you're not quite as stimulated as you are in the back with everything being almost like a surprise. And yeah, I almost find like being a passenger in the back, I feel like tireder, like much tireder sometimes after the flights than flying. And also, I do think that noise really does contribute a lot to it, because, you know, when you're in the front, you're wearing like a headset, so you're shielded a lot from the noise. But like in the back, it's just like really loud for hours and hours on end.
Yeah, that's definitely not something I really thought about until I read something that outwardly told me that. Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense why a lot of aircraft manufacturers and engine manufacturers are citing these noise statistics, like X percent reduction in noise. It's beneficial not only for the passengers, but also for the environments that they're flying in, right? Like when they fly over busy cities and things like that, it'll cause less of a disruption. And, you know, that's another thing that I feel like a broken record. I feel like I've said this so many times, but another thing that I didn't really think about prior to this conversation and doing more research into it, a lot of these small details are, you know, overlooked, I feel like, by the common eye. You don't really think about it and you don't really see it, but it's all really important and it all plays a really strong role in your in-flight experience, I guess you could say. I have a question, but I don't know if this is too touchy or not. I'm just curious because I feel like in a lot of industries and even in my undergraduate experience in college, there's a lot of stigma around mental health. Like, people don't want to say that they're tired or, you know, exhausted from any, they just want to seem like they pulled off an all-nighter easily and they feel fine. Yeah. So I wonder, like, you know, you said in the cockpit, if someone might say to you, like, oh, you got to call out, like, you're tired. Is that something that is normal to say? Like, will you feel weird saying that to someone else?
Yeah. So there's a lot of like pressure that goes on, like while flying, you know, pressure from the company, of course, to get the flight out on time. And also, you know, pressure from your coworkers, if, you know, they want to like get to the destination, if it's their last day, there's going to be like pressure from them, like to continue the flight. And, you know, you just have to like really, you have to like really like, you know, be in tune with your body about like, you know, like what's the right thing to do in order to make like good decisions. And, you know, it can be, you're constantly almost being tested by it. Because there are just so many outside pressures to get you to keep going.
Definitely. And I find that too in my industry as well. Like, we don't even fly these planes. We just have a part in making them. And we always get so nervous, like, oh, we can't miss any steps. We can't do any of this because we can't risk an in-flight shutdown when there are actually people on the plane. But it's a whole different ballgame when you're actually flying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it can be hard to get through a lot of the pressure, and it's very real, and it's really easy to talk about like, of course I would do the right thing. You know, when you're sitting down thinking about it as a thought experiment, but when you're actually out there, it can be a much harder decision to make just because of that pressure from everyone around you. You know, you don't want to let the passengers down. You don't want to let your fellow crew members down. The company's going to, you know, you have to file a report for it. So there is a lot of pressure. And that goes through like all facets of aviation. And that's why there's just such an emphasis on safety, is because there is so much of a pressure to just continue the flight, get everyone where they need to go, that's why there's such an emphasis on like anonymous reporting and fatigue risk management. is because in the past these outside factors have contributed to accidents where, you know, crews have chose to continue in conditions that might seem obvious that, like, well, they shouldn't have done that. But at the time, it just, with the pressure, it just seems like that's what they should do.
Mm-hmm. And it's always so hard to.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of, like, parallels, I feel like, to driving school when we were teenagers almost. Like, they're always like, oh, yeah, like, if you're, like, going to a party with your friends and everyone's drinking, like, there's going to be social pressures. But if you know you have to drive home, like, don't do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, a very juvenile example, but I feel like it's just magnified, yeah, you know, the situation and things like that. And, you know, with a magnified situation, the pressures from the people around you are also magnified. Yeah. So,
or even, like, if you're driving and you feel tired, just go take a 10-minute nap on the side of the road.
Yeah, you can pull over to a shoulder, right, of a highway.
And, you know, when you just think about it, it's, yeah, of course, I'll do that if I'm tired. It seems easy. But, you know, and when you're driving, you're like, well, just 10 more minutes. Just 10 more minutes, I'll get there. It's fine. And it's just much harder in actuality.
Mm-hmm. Well, regardless, Stefan, stay safe out there. We're looking out for you, so make sure you get your rest. Make sure you comply. Yep. Stay sharp, comply with the FAA mandates, and, you know, good luck.
Thank you.
Well, Stefan, thanks for coming on Above the Wing and giving us some insight onto, you know, the airlines and how, you know, your experiences as a captain have shaped your career so far. And we wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was great chatting with you guys.
Aw. We had a lot of fun, and hopefully we keep in touch.
Yeah, definitely.
Transitioning now to our featured photo segment, and you can see the photos that we'll be talking about on our Instagram at Above the Wing. Kim, do you want to take us through your photo?
Yeah, so for our first photo, it is a photo of 6 international students earning their wings through UVU Aviation. UVU stands for Utah Valley University Aviation Program, and there's 6 students pictured here, and they're holding flags of their home countries. I just think this is very cool. I feel like this showcases the diversity and potential that anyone can have in the aviation industry, and it doesn't matter what your background is or what country you're from and all that stuff. If you're interested in it and you're passionate in it, there's definitely ways to get involved. And, you know, this picture just brought some joy to my day.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of those niche programs that is just so cool to see how where they've gone with it, and wishing all the students the best.
Yes, I agree.
Looking at my photo, this is actually a throwback photo that EAA posted on Instagram this week. It is from Oshkosh 2018, and it is a powered paraglider coming down during sunset, and it's just a very well-taken photo, I thought, and it features sort of a part of aviation that isn't always have as much light shined on it, but I thought that it was a cool photo to showcase here. And I'll never give up an opportunity to reminisce on past Oshkoshes. So you're still looking forward to the next one.
Oh yeah, I don't blame you about looking for excuses to reminisce. All right, so that's all for this week. As always, thanks so much for tuning in. You can find more Above the Wing content on our Instagram at abovethewing.podcast, and we'll see you next time.